Well, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and we'll get back at it this morning. Father, we come to thee in prayer. We do thank you for the opportunity that is ours to gather ourselves together as your children, to come and sit at your feet, to look into your word, to be taught by it. Father, help us as we continue this kind of brief study of Proverbs to take in these truths and have the wisdom that you have put forth in your word for us to have so that we may truly live a profitable and peaceful life, one that brings honor and glory to you, and help us to endeavor to do so, Father, as we learn these truths, to see them become part of our lives and live accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's buckle up and get ready. The fastest 45 minutes of the week. So here we go. I trust, have your fingers limbered up. We'll be going through the book of Proverbs quite a bit for this study this morning. As we look at Proverbs, knowledge and instruction, the building blocks for life. And as we watch Solomon speak these truths to his sons, we're looking at knowledge is the awareness of part of God's truth. It is an awareness, a knowledge. I think we all, whether we're young or old, still would seek after knowledge, do we not? We've not all arrived, even if we have been around and as old as Methuselah and Don back there, but he's still seeking knowledge. He's not arrived yet. None of us have. There's still more we can learn. And more that God has for us as we seek to live for him. Because, again, his knowledge really is inexhaustible. And even though we have a finite book in front of us, your Bible does not get thicker as the years go by. God doesn't add to it. But it seems like as we study the book, like he does add to it. Because it's like, I haven't seen this before. Even though we have seen it before, we've read those verses over and over again, but the truth that God has for us today is there where he wasn't ready for us to have it a year ago or 5 years ago. And so he keeps us fresh on our feet, keeps us understanding that there is much to this book. We'll never grasp it all. And we have a God that is, he is that kind of God that wishes to bring these things to us. So as we look at our study of Proverbs, and it's a brief one, as I continue working on this other series, I'm hoping that I can get that ready in a couple weeks and have that ready to go. Gotta read through it to make sure there aren't any mistakes in there, make sure the verses are correct. And once I can get through that, we'll get it printed out and we'll have it ready for us. But as we, in the meantime, look at our Proverbs, as we look at knowledge as the awareness of part of God's truth, all knowledge derives from and depends upon God. And I'll remind you, the outline, the material, comes from a book, Wellsprings of Life, a study of Proverbs by a Donald Orthner in Greenville, South Carolina. And so it's not mine. But as he took the time to take all the verses of Proverbs and categorize them by topics and things, this is the outlines that he has broken it up into. And we understand that knowledge is awareness of part of God's truth, that all knowledge derives from and depends upon God. When we stop to think about it, where did knowledge come from? I mean, it's one of those things that I think everybody at times should stop and ponder. Where does this knowledge come from? Where is the source? I think it would be a good question to ask a Darwinist, an atheist. You know, where does this knowledge come from? Say, well, you know, hey, Copernicus found this, and Newton found that, and we can look at all these men that had various theories and things, and yeah, sure. And how did they get it? Well, they experimented. How did they get it? How did they come to those conclusions? It'll lead us, I believe, back to God because it comes from God. Everything we have comes from God. And so, as I say, limber up our fingers, if you will. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. I'll read that. If somebody can look up Proverbs 22, verse 12. 22, verse 12. We have lots of verses. I don't think it's an exhaustive list, but we'll be looking at verses in Proverbs that speak of knowledge, and we'll touch on some definitions along the way as I was working through this. That's something that he doesn't put in there, but I've added them to my notes. There are three different words, at least in the group that we have here for this outline, three different Hebrew words for the word knowledge that we have in our English. Two of them are related. One's a root word. The other one comes from that root word, so they're kind of related. And then there's another word, Hebrew word, that has been translated knowledge in the book of Proverbs. But in chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And we'll see some relationships between knowledge and understanding, and we'll get to that after a bit. But does anybody have 22:12? Hey, Delbert?
The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless.
Okay. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. Again, we have that word knowledge. And the word knowledge, again, in the Hebrew, is a general term for knowledge, particularly that which is of a personal, experimental nature. It is also used for technical knowledge or ability, such as that needed for the building of the tabernacle or the temple. So we have kind of that general term, if you will, for knowledge. We're not looking at this, obviously, from the New Testament side with the various Greek words, but again, we see different words for knowledge in the Hebrew, just as we have some in the Greek, to talk about the different types of knowledge, how it's gained. And as he notes here, this is a general term, and particularly for that which is of a personal, experimental nature. We gain knowledge by our actions, by the things that we do, we're able to gain that knowledge. Growing up as a kid, I loved taking things apart and then putting them back together again to kind of see how it works. When I got my radio, little transistor radio, I got the screws out, took a look inside. I wasn't necessarily tearing it apart, but more curious. What's inside? What's there? What's going on? And then would put it back together again when I had a pump BB gun. Took it apart, put it back together again. That is just me. That was curiosity to learn and have some knowledge about it. And that's the kind of knowledge that he's speaking of here, that for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, as he notes this. You know, ultimately, who gave me that curiosity? God did, because he's the one that formed me. I didn't come by it naturally in that sense. It wasn't part of my genetic makeup. My mom and dad aren't necessarily that way. So it didn't come through the genes. That's something that God gives us. And some people have it in that regard and others don't. Others, you know, they can take things apart and figure out how to make it better. That's not me. I took things apart just to look at them. I didn't look at it to see how can I make this better? How can we improve this thing? And yet there are others that are built like that. And we see improvements from various things because they took the time to take it apart and bring it back together again and make it more efficient or, you know, whatever the case may be. But this knowledge, you know, comes from the Lord. He gives us that wisdom, and that wisdom that we gain from the knowledge that he gives, really brings honor and glory to him. As he notes, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. He overthrows the words of the transgressor, as we note. But, you know, we get this from God, and we learn God's truth by it. God gives us that knowledge so that we can learn more of what God has for us. And he goes on, he says, much knowledge is best understood by believers. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 notes, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we've got a couple people, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6, and Proverbs 8, verses 8 and 9. If someone can find a couple people, get those two sets, 14, 6, and then 8, 8 and 9. But much knowledge is best understood by believers. And how truly true that is. If you look back, a lot of our scientists of previous centuries, we find out were believers of some sort. They knew Christ, they acknowledged God, and understood that what they were doing scientifically was because of what God had given them and how they could be used of God to search out these things and find these truths. And Solomon notes that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. As we acknowledge our God, he's open and willing to give us what we need, whether it be knowledge or, you know, tangible things. But notice the flip side of this is one of those verses that is a contrast verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And do we have a world that this characterizes today? I mean, you look at what is going on within our society with the discord, the problems, and I would say this verse describes it very well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We have a society that has turned its back on God, yet desires wisdom, desires instruction, desires knowledge, and are they gathering it?
False knowledge.
Yeah, false knowledge, if you even want to call it knowledge. I mean, instead, what do we have within, you know, our gender society? They have despised this book. They've despised God. They don't fear God. And instead, they've replaced it with this alphabet soup of truly nonsense. And yet, you have staunch believers in it that, for me, it boggles my mind when I hear or watch some of these people speak on this thing as if somehow this is the gospel truth. And it's like, can you not see the fallacy of your own words? Can you not see? No, they're blinded. They're blinded to the truth because they've blinded themselves. And the fools despise wisdom and instruction. And you find that when they are confronted with what they know, they usually get very agitated with you and will not listen to you, either seeking to shout you down or they'll just, you know, walk away. They don't want to hear the truth. And to pull this back into New Testament times, that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 and 4. A time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn away from the truth, be turned on to fable. And again, we see that as people seek to turn away from the Word of God, truth, what else is there for them to grasp? Falsehood. Truth comes from God. This book is God's truth. If we turn away from this, we have no truth to grasp. And so we see the results of that. And he notes this, that really much knowledge is best understood by believers. Who has chapter 14, verse 6? Tracy?
A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to the one who has understanding.
Okay. A scorner seeketh wisdom, but and findeth it not. Again, the society that they seek it. They want wisdom. I mean, all mankind wants wisdom, wants knowledge. But the question is, are you seeking it in the right place? If you're not, can you find it? No. If you're not seeking in the right place, you're not going to find it. And he notes that. He says, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Again, that person that acknowledges the right place to get it and goes there to find it, God says, you're going to find it. You come to me, you come to my word, and you're going to get knowledge, you're going to get wisdom, you're going to get understanding. Because I'm the source of it. And I will give it. Chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Brad?
All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge.
Okay. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. And we can put here God, ultimately. This is wisdom speaking in chapter 8. If you look at the chapter, it's a wisdom chapter, and Solomon personifies wisdom. He gives it a personality, so to speak. You could also put Christ here. As you learn of this wisdom, there's Christ. But he personifies wisdom, and he notes that all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse. There's nothing twisted or crooked in God's words. They're all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. We have these blessed truths here that God gives to us if we will but search for them, look for them. He gives us, you know, these promises that, you know, his words are in righteousness. They're not perverse. They're not crooked. They're not twisted. And truly, they become plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. We start to understand the truth of God's word as we read God's word, as we study God's word. Because again, who resides within us as believers? The very author of this book. Does God want us to misunderstand his word? No, he doesn't. That doesn't bring honor and glory to him, and it doesn't help us. And so he is there to help us. As, again, Christ notes in chapter 16 of John, he gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And so it behooves us, as we open up this book, that we seek God's assistance. God, help me. As we note in Psalm 119, verse 18, show me wondrous things out of thy law. God, let me see those wondrous things. It's a verse that's a prayer, if you will, that we would behold what God has for us in his book. And so he will do that and gives it to those that are, again, believers that can gain that knowledge and best understood by us. And again, we can see that in the world. Are there people in the world that look at this book? There are. And they try to tell us what this book has. And for the most part, they're trying to debunk it or trying to twist it. They don't understand it because they're not coming to it with the assistance of God, because they're lost. And instead of having the author to help them, they're using their own, you know, human capacities, which are limited in truly understanding this book. And so it does us well to help them understand, you don't quite have it right. You need to come to Christ. And then the author will reside in you. And he will give you a better understanding of this book, a right understanding of this book. Spiritual knowledge strengthens faith and godly living. Chapter 22, verses 20 and 21 says, "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee?" And if somebody has chapter 9, verse 10, or if you want to quote it, you can. And Proverbs 19, verse 2. But spiritual knowledge strengthens faith and godly living. It says, "Have I not written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge?" Again, looking at God as the ultimate author here, he's stating, have not I written you? The answer to this is yes, God has written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge. Why? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. God desires to give this to us for our profit and to help those that come with questions to us. If we're studying God's word, if we're learning it, making it a part of our lives, we will be able to give an answer of the hope that resides in us, to paraphrase from, I think it's Peter, of the truth that resides in us when people ask. I think sometimes we get fearful, do we not? When people start asking us about the Bible, about our Christianity. Whether it is real, because we haven't studied the scriptures, we haven't brought it in, or whether it's a forgetting that God will help us and thinking that I've got to do this in my own strength and therefore I don't think I can, we tend to want to shy away from answering, which means we then try to hide our Christianity behind a facade. Put it under a bushel basket. Then nobody will ask me a question, and I'll be okay. Instead of realizing, no, God is here to teach us, to gain the knowledge that we need for our own living, and also to help others who may have questions, as they see that new life in us being lived out that is different than how the world lives. That's going to cause people to question us. Why are you different? But so often we don't like to hear that word, why are you different? We all like to be a melting pot. We all like to blend in. And, you know, when you're a teenager, that's kind of particularly true. But it seems like we don't grow out of that as we become adults. We at times want to blend in. I don't want to be seen as being different. When in reality, whether we Like it or not, we are different. Austin.
So how would you navigate something like that? Because I know I'm about 5 years in, into, you know, being a Christian, and I don't have the spiritual maturity or the knowledge that some people have. And when I started, it was that. I would say it's even harder for someone who's just started. I mean, I lost friends, fights with family, and it's hard. Sit there and, well, I want to believe in a higher power, I want to believe in God, and I want to better myself, but that's all you have. And then you have people just spewing hate left and right.
Right, yeah.
How would you navigate that? Or if you see other people who are just scared. I have a friend who wants to become a Christian, used to be gay, now straight, wants to convert, he's terrified.
Yeah. That's okay. That's a good thing, because, you know, we all deal with this at various stages in our lives, and we all have this. I would take us back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Verses that I would encourage you to memorize and make it part and parcel of our lives. Trust in the Lord. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We memorize that. We put that in our minds. But how often do we come back to it? And I think it's these kinds of experiences, Austin, when we are confronted with, ultimately, really, our trust. God is always seeking to strengthen us, to test our faith. And it's not to embarrass us, but it's to cause us to do the first phrase, trust in the Lord. And we can say, yes, I trust the Lord as my Savior. My faith is in him. He's the one that saved me. That's the beginning point. And the trust stays. And the trust should grow. It will grow our faith. And so when we come across these things that are trying to us, and maybe we can't answer them, and there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know the answer. Let me pray about this and seek for the answer. And come back to you. I mean, we may try to fudge on a test, and we may be able to pass it because maybe it's multiple choice, and so we've got a 25% chance of getting it right, or, you know, whatever the case may be, and we can sneak by. But that doesn't work when it comes to God's word and his truth. To try to think, well, I really don't know the answer, but I'll try to fudge my way through this and try to sound nice or sound grandiose, and we'll get... Don't do that. Be willing to acknowledge, I don't know. I mean, I still do. Somebody may present me a question about the scriptures, about some truths, and I say, you've got me, I don't know. But I will look, and I will pray, assuredly knowing God will help me find the answer. And so when we have these things, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, when these things happen, turn to God first and foremost. God, I need your strength. I need some answers for my own life as I'm challenged. You know, these things are... They're happening. Yes, the question is, the first thing that usually comes out of our mouth, why God? Why me? And he may not give us the answer, but he will help carry us through those things. But our focus should always be on our God, to trust Him, to lean on Him and not ours. And so I encourage us, you know, as we look at these things, and again, you know, getting into the Word of God. That will, yes, be a theme for my ministry to you. We've got to be in this book. We've got to be reading it consistently. Because again, as we're seeing, this is where the answers are. That's why God gave it to us. And it is really foolish on our part to just set this book aside and never look at it except for Sunday morning when we come to church. Let's bring our Bibles and let's open them up. That's not enough, folks. This couple hours on a Sunday morning, another hour on Sunday night, another hour in the middle of the week, that's not enough. You say, well, Pastor, should we open up the church doors more often? It's fine with me, but that still is not going to be enough. We need it away from this building. And that's where we take the time to do so and make it a part and parcel of our lives. And when these things happen, they naturally will start drawing us to our God. God, I need help in this. I'm not understanding this. God, help me. And He will. And He'll show us. So our trust is in Him. And first and foremost, we noted as we see, you know, spiritual knowledge strengthens faith in godly living. As we learn the Word of God, not just memorizing it, but, you know, learning it, learning those truths that are here, they start to become a part and parcel of our lives. And there are times when we are like the teenager. We want it now, not later. And we get impatient. We see that we're growing. We see that we're maturing. But we see that image of what we want to be. And we know that we're not there, and we get impatient. God, help me get there. And we focus on that image rather than focusing on God to help us during the time that we're at. And may we do that as believers and not follow that. And I realize I'm stereotyping, you know, the physical growth. You know, we become teenagers and we start looking beyond our teenage years and we want that. And we want it not 5 years down the road. We want it now. And we get impatient for that when we realize, well, we can't get that now because we're not there. We need to live the life that we have, accepting who we are, what we're going through, knowing that that's going to prepare us for later. That's where it helps us as parents to teach our children this. You know, you'll get there. Just hang in there. God has something for you now, and that's going to prepare you for that. And so enjoy the time now, because once you get there, the now will be past, and you won't be able to bring it back. So embrace the time, enjoy the time with our God, and He'll prepare you for that. And the same holds true in our spiritual walk. We can, that image is usually somebody else that we esteem highly, we think rightly of. That's the kind of Christian that I would long to be. And we forget that it's taken that person, let's say, maybe 20 years of the Christian walk to be there. And we're at, and I'm using Austin since we're talking, you know, we're 5 years into this. Well, there's a 15-year gap there. That's not going to happen in the next year, typically, or the next 2 years. It may take that another 15. It may take less, depending on how God is working in our lives and how, in one sense, studious we are, seeking the Word of God, having Him instruct us. And so our progress in Christian maturity is going to vary. It is interesting as you read biographies, as you see lives, you know, there are some precocious children. I mean, I find it hard to think of Mozart at 5 and 6 years old writing the music that we appreciate. I'm just blown away with that. As I 5 and 6 years old, I was enjoying Lincoln Logs and an Erector Set and army figures and cars, sitting down to a piano and creating classical music. That wasn't on my brain wavelength. And yet we appreciate what he did. Well, that's God-given abilities, obviously, whether he acknowledged it or not. And we see some people like that. And I would even say within the Christian walk, there are some that just are sponges and they soak up what God has for them. And yes, they mature quickly to the point where God can use them in other areas because of their capacity to take it in and learn and grow. Not all of us are like that. We have to learn and grow and really at our own pace. We can't be paced by somebody else's progress. Like my track coach used to remind us, you run your own race. You don't run the race of the guy beside you. I remember one of the first half-mile races that we had. We had a guy in another school be a jackrabbit. And he jumped out of that starting line and he did that first lap very quickly. He would have been a good 440 runner. But then he petered out. But most everybody else followed him because, hey, he's leading. We don't want him to get too far ahead. And so they ran his race. And they too tuckered out on the second lap. And somebody else won the race because they didn't follow the jackrabbit. They didn't follow the crowd. They ran their race. They ran their pace. And so they were able to run faster at the end because they didn't expend all their energy at the beginning when everybody else was, and then didn't have it at the end when they really needed it to make it to the finish line in a good time. And so we need to, in that sense, in our Christian walk, not look at others and think, they're my example, that's what I want. No, look to God and His Word. He will pace you, He will guide you, He will instruct you. And so we can gain and strengthen that faith in our godly living. Chapter 9, verse 10, does somebody have that? And again, if you want to quote it, go ahead. Okay. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Our fear, we've looked at that in the past. It's the starting point for our wisdom. As we acknowledge God is who He rightfully is, ultimately, reverence Him, fear Him, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We gain these truths because we look to Him. We keep Him in our proper perspective, keep Him in His proper perspective in our lives. and he helps us. Chapter 19, verse 2. Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Okay, God doesn't want us to be without knowledge. God wants us to have it. That's why, again, he's given us this book. So that we can get the knowledge that he desires for us to have. But if we're not in the book, can we get it? We can't. I know we learn of osmosis in science class, the means of having something go through a semipermeable membrane and go from one side to the other. We learn that truth, we know it's there, but doing this isn't going to work. There is no osmosis to put your Bible to your head and think that somehow God's word is going to pass through that thick skull of ours, that's not a semipermeable membrane in this regard, and get into us. It just doesn't happen. We've got to open this book and bring it in through our eyes, listen. Our eyes and our ears are the means of getting the Word of God into us. And we need to avail ourselves of those so that God can grow us in His knowledge. We can become wise in His words. And profitable for one another, and profitable to those that have the questions. We'll start to get the answers as we search His Word and learn the truths. We grow by it, and we become a beneficiary then to give it to others and benefit them from what God's taught us. And so it's always a work in progress. Because there's nobody that's arrived yet. There's nobody that's reached the end of God's knowledge from this book. We will all be a work in progress until the day we breathe our last breath. Then we will stand in His presence complete. And He will fill in for the rest of eternity the gaps that we had in this life. The unanswered questions. We will be known as He is known, and we will have those fuller answers. Enjoy and rejoice with Him forever in heaven. And we will we will carry on next week. We still got two more main points to go through. We just finished the first one. So we'll carry this on next week. As we say, the fastest 45 minutes, 43 of them have already gone by. So we will close with a word of prayer. We'll not start into the next one. We'll start that, Lord willing, next week. But you know, good answers, good questions. I appreciate that. If you have something, you know, again, feel free to raise your hand. We're here to try to answer those. If we don't have it, as I say, I will search for them. But what a joy to be able to open this book and have His knowledge given to us as we read it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in Thy Word. We thank You for the truths that are here. Father, we thank You for this book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom that You have given to us through Solomon so that we can walk worthy of You, so that we can grow in our walk as believers, so that we can give to others an answer of the hope that resides within us as they ask questions. You don't say that it will be easy, but You do tell us You go with us. You didn't leave us when the question was asked. You are there beside us and You will help us. And we thank You for that promise. I pray, Father, that we would seek You out daily to learn the truths that are here to see you grow and mature us in our walk with you. Bless the coming service, Father, as we look forward to a time of lifting up our voices. And Father, again, sitting at thy feet to hear your word proclaimed once again. Stir and challenge our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.